This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and I wonder how Marie Kondo would feel about all my cum jars.
Do they spark joy? Need to know.
I'm Brandi Posey, and last night I had a dream, more of a nightmare, about how dentists are probably asking kids if they're practicing both kinds of flossing. You know? Because it's a dance.
God.
It's a floss dance.
Oh my God. I'm Tess Barker, and is there like a silent retreat, but you just sit in the desert and watch all the reality shows you're behind on?
Yeah. Sounds amazing.
This is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandi, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Yay!
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome to the show. It is, what day does this come out?
Wednesday. Wednesday.
16th. So you have about 2 weeks left to get in on our amazing charity fundraiser that we've got going on right now. We recorded a commentary track to the movie Death Becomes Her.
It's really good.
With Karen Kilgariff.
Yeah. Heard of her?
Heard of her? Maybe.
My favorite.
I'm
sorry. How many icons could you have on one track? You have Goldie. You have Meryl. You have Karen. You have us.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah. It was so much fun. And we're doing it for this charity called Wings of Rescue, which tell what they do to us.
Yeah, they're really, really awesome. As you guys know, I run the social media for a high kill shelter here in LA, and I can't tell you, like, it's very gratifying when we find homes for the dogs, but one of the hardest things is, like, when we get an email that a dog has been euthanized for space. And really, this means, like, a lot to me. This charity, like, flies dogs out of overcrowded shelters, like, to areas of the, because there's areas of the country where there are foster homes and, like, open shelters. So they prevent a lot of dogs from being put down by doing that. And they also, we had these terrible fires recently in California, and they were there, got a ton of animals out of harm's way there. They go to hurricane areas, they go to disaster areas, they do a lot of really awesome work, all volunteer pilots, and they rely on donations for fuel and food and stuff like that. And after this episode, I'm going to do a call with the CEO of Wings of Rescue, so stick around for that.
Yeah. At the end of the episode, we'll have part of that too.
Yes.
And so, the deal is to get access to the commentary track, you go to wingsofrescue.org, click donate. Donate $10 or more and forward your receipt to myfavoritemurderlady@gmail.com, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, that's all you have to do.
And you'll get it on February 1st.
Yeah, and you'll get the download link on February 1st to the movie. And basically, you just sync up the track with the movie and then enjoy your life and feel good about yourself for giving to fuzzy animals.
And if you've already donated, feel free to share this out, too. We'd really appreciate it if you could just... We've got a cute little image. It's all of us just pretending like we're dead with Bruce Willis in the middle. She's got all the instructions on it. Just share that out. And, like, let's try to make some real money for these pets.
Yeah, for real. So, yeah, thank you for doing that. We're really excited about it. And that's the beginning.
Yay! Right?
Yeah!
I'm so excited for our episode today, you guys.
I know, me too. Very excited. I don't have my thing.
From the Pop Rocket Podcast, digital strategist, winner, Mitchell Rohrbaugh, everybody.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hey,
I didn't mean to sound so Jerry Lewis just there.
Hey, ladies.
You guys just really are so funny. I was cracking up that old thinking about please don't kill these pets.
We sent you through a lot.
Yeah,
you
know? It was a journey. Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. I liked it.
We like to put people in an emotional, roller coaster immediately.
I'm strapped in.
You get the whole spectrum. You were talking before we started recording about how you're very sensitive to energies and stuff like that.
Yes, very.
Wow.
Very. It feels like if I wanted to take it on the road and become like a charlatan like this, I'd be pretty successful. I don't know if I'd be Sylvia Brown level, but I'd definitely be better than that Long Island medium lady. And the one on E, that guy. Yeah. Oh my God. They're literally just like putting stuff in a jar and then pulling it out there and just hoping it lands. I'm so serious.
I've never that's good to know that show. That's like a backup plan for you.
It yeah. is.
Pretty
because
great one to have.
The older I get, I feel like I'm really starting, it's starting to get like stronger and stronger. It's like, you know, Stephen nice. King-ish.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I love
was
that.
It like, wait, have you been like that since you were a kid, or is that something that's gotten
yeah,
easier for you?
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't until I was like going through so many things in life that just like as a woman goes through mm-hmm. and you just start saying, okay, what was my gut saying just before I made that stupid fucking decision?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And then it was like, wow. Nine out of 10 times I should have listened to my gut. And yeah. it happened. Enough bullshit happened before I was like, you know what? I'm going to center myself and be a little bit more kind to myself. And this really happened after I turned 35. And like now I'm turning 39 in 3 weeks. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, like, I need to take stock of what my life has been telling me. And like the last year was great. I got married to my fuck buddy. Aww. Like also the love of my life and my soulmate. Aww. He was those things before he was my fuck buddy. And like, aww. You know, my job is going, or my, you know, career is, my business is doing well. You know, I'm a digital strategist. I work for all these really famous people and they're all like somehow let me like work for them every day and pays me and says I do a good job. So like, you know, the world has seemed to come together a little bit more. And I said, okay, if I want to keep going at this rate, how do I assess what's happening? And it's my gut. Yeah. And yep. just like how you were saying today, everybody's playing Alexander Hamilton mm-hmm. at Starbucks. And I was on a Hamilton K-hole last night. Not the musical, but about the dude.
Right.
It's just
and it's, and they're playing funny at Starbucks
we,
because
we have to say that now.
Today.
Not the musical, but yeah, yeah. The person.
The OG Hamilton.
Yeah, I might be into a musical called Hamilton K-hole. I would watch that musical. I might
just somebody on your computer
dude laying in a corner.
What's K-holes this? Are actually very boring to watch.
They really are. Let me tell you, from previous experience, it was awful.
Just a set moving around with a guy on a computer.
Yes, yes. And especially if you do it while listening to Bad Company on repeat for some reason. I kept talking about there's the name of the song and there's the name of the band. It's the name of the same thing. Yeah. It's crazy.
This is actually a Bad Company musical. They brill it as another Hamilton so people actually come to it.
Wow.
Damn.
So people actually
that's so cool. I do yeah. I do love that though, like getting older, you know, and like just learning to trust your gut and trust your yeah. intuition. It really reminds me because Katya, who we've had on the podcast mm-hmm. before, is a drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race and a million other things, just wrote this quote yesterday, so I want to read it because it made me think about this.
I'm excited.
In my 20s, I was obsessed with what people thought of me. Then in my 30s, I was consumed with how I viewed myself. I spent my entire 40s looking for someone who could see and appreciate the real me, and now here I am in my mid-50s feeling realer and more me. Yeah, not how old she is, but in my mid-50s feeling realer and more me than I have ever imagined someone else or myself could have ever fully seen or totally been. And I was like, yes! I can't wait!
Nobody is more free than like a couple of 60-year-olds at a cover band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah!
That's like a woman at their most powerful.
It's
truly a beautiful thing
to
behold.
Yeah, because you can't give a fuck. You're already at a cover band.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, and I feel like very unattached. Like, I've always been very old and very young at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah. Yes.
For example, one of the most fun times of my life was when I was 20 years old. I had never got to see Pink Floyd live, obviously, like in their
yeah.
heyday. And when I was 20 years old, I went with my boyfriend at the time to a Pink Floyd cover band in Agora.
I thought you were going to say a Pink Floyd.
No, a fucking cover band.
In Agora.
At the Canyon Club.
Oh.
And like,
are you sure it wasn't a casino?
It's a casino without the fun stuff.
Right, okay.
It's just
okay.
a wood yeah. ranch. And like, I had so much fucking fun. I felt,
yeah.
I had never seen the real thing. So it was like
came alive.
Exactly.
It's so funny you brought that up because yesterday I was at Trader Joe's and I was looking on the ground and it looked like a ticket and it said Australian Bee Gees. And then I was
yes.
and I was like, aren't they Australian already? So when I was like, where are they performing? And somebody's like, FYI, Australian Bee Gees. And I pick it up and I was like, it's a cover band. And it was like someone went on Christmas. And I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be mad at a Christmas night
no,
like that.
Because it's Bee Gees?
Yeah, that sounds great. Everyone thinks their cover bands are like, like reality TV. You think you're too good for it until you're there,
and you're there, and you're like, I don't even have to see the real thing. This is it.
I would like almost prefer it sometimes because they're doing all the hits.
You don't
feel kind of sad about like what if they're like someone's like, you know, might die soon or something.
Exactly.
Like,
you can get up close to them a little bit.
Yeah.
Neil Diamond cover band.
Bless him.
And you're seeing them at their quote unquote peak. You know, if you see the real Bob Dylan, it's gonna be.
It's gonna be.
Also, they're doing the set list that you want to hear.
Right. Exactly.
I don't want to hear your new shit, Neil Diamond. I want to hear the hits, and a cover band will give me the hits.
I went to see Nine Inch Nails like a month ago, and they didn't play Closer, and I was
Come on!
I was a little disappointed, but I also was the kind of person who would have totally listened to the Gone Girl soundtrack and would have listened from that, or listened to the Social Network soundtrack because I love those soundtracks.
Did Nine Inch Nails do both of those?
Nope. And so they did do Hurt, and I was happy, but then I remember like somebody was, I went and I ended up going to, you know, work one day and doing my job, and one of the people that was there was like, did they sing "You I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal"? And I felt so cool and be like, no, they don't do that. They don't do those at at the show. And I'm like,
how
she's
mad
like,
were people?
I'm so mad. We like walked out with like really like ready
it's music,
but then
blue balls.
Yes.
And also, I feel like I understand your whole set list. You don't want it to be comprised of like your top hits. But if you have that one that it takes you 4 minutes
that
to play
one,
it,
just take 4 minutes.
Take a sip of beer and do it, dude.
Yeah, just do it.
You know what I will say? We saw Smash Mouth live. They put on a great goddamn show because they know who they are. They know you don't want to hear
the new
stuff.
They know what they want to give you.
Smash Mouth is their own cover band.
I appreciate that.
Oh my God.
That is so accurate. I haven't heard anything more accurate this week.
Okay,
that
this is
real news.
This is a good place to get into crossing over the podcast because Britney Spears. No.
I love this. Give me your laughs. It feels really good. It feels really good for me.
That should be on a t-shirt. That's a Target t-shirt.
They should sell that.
They would.
I'm going to tweet at the bass player. He responds to tweets.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Let's design it first, though, so they don't have to think too hard about it.
Yeah,
give it to them. We just want free tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they wouldn't give them. They wouldn't give them to me that one time. So
we have a lot of Smash Mouth ties on this podcast.
I know.
Barbara had a thing go viral.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like respond. This guy was trying to fucking talk to me online. I never met him, and so I responded only with Smash Mouth lyrics from All Star. And
amazing.
It went real well and insane. And it went viral, and then I was like, hey, Smash Mouth, and they were like, oh, this is so cool, you should come to our show. And I was like, oh, cool, they're like VIP.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, here's a link for tickets.
I respect the hustle.
They were $14. The tickets were $14.
Oh my God.
They didn't give me a $14 ticket.
And I wonder if they have a social media manager, if it was somebody at the label or it was the...
It might have been Mr. Smash.
It might have been Mr. Smash.
Yeah, I think it was Mr. Smash. Yeah.
He's like, I can deal with this real easy right now. Yep. Settle that.
Fucking love them.
Oh my God.
They were my first favorite band.
Really?
Yeah, legitimately.
Oh my God.
I know all of the words to their first album still.
Oh man.
It's a legitimately good album. Fush You Mang is it's a real
my
fun pop punk album.
My nephew knows all the words to All Star. I was like,
yeah.
Yes.
This
how old is your nephew?
5.
Yeah, that's one of those songs.
Yeah.
It's just like Chumbawamba.
Yeah,
all these kids, it's like entry level how to know what your parents care about.
It's like
about.
When our parents played Led Zeppelin for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
the new kids are getting smashed out. Fucking sucks.
But isn't it like the song?
No. As an adult, I know. It's a nostalgia factor for me.
But it's still, I'll rock out
too. Also, I will say, we went to the show, Barbara and I went to the show at the Queen Mary, and Sugar Ray was like,
of course
the band.
They played at the Queen Mary.
Oh yeah, Sugar Ray played later, and what is his name?
Mark McGrath
he came up on the side of the stage to watch All Star.
Oh
wow,
because he was like,
he's
gonna love this song.
That's like they came together. They came up together.
They came up together.
When I was in high school, that was exactly my type, Mark McGrath. Bleach tips.
Oh God, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. He was. I'm just being honest.
I was into it. I like Sublime a lot. I'm just, you know.
You're from Southern California.
Yeah.
You understand.
Okay. That's exactly what I was going to say. Because mine was like pale British, like unfed white boys.
I'm thinking very early, like NSYNC and stuff. Or no. They're not British, obviously, but they were like tiny.
The guy from Empire Records.
No, I'm talking about like Oasis.
Oh, okay. Yes,
you know
yes,
what
yes.
I mean? Like that was like guys who look like emo and kind of femme, but like.
Unbreakable.
Yeah. Unbreakable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I get like, it. Yeah.
Fair.
Can I? Like a streak.
I have to totally say, yeah. Have you guys ever, I'm sorry, but the, no, no. The lyrics to All Star are kind of about global warming. Do we? Do you guys know this?
Get agenda in here, yeah, Barb. I don't want your fucking climate, whatever's happening with it.
I'm just saying that they were
agenda
calling it out.
In this podcast.
They were calling it out way
this.
Before anyone else was.
Have you listened to Walking on the Sun?
Yes.
We're walking
we
on the sun.
We might as well be.
Wait, yeah. Is that also Smash Mouth or is that Jim
That's Smash Mouth, okay. Baby. That's yeah. That put them on the map. That got them out of San Jose.
That was every in and out of reality show used that chorus.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it.
I'm going to read this. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. It's a cool place, and they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now. Wait till you get older. The meteor men beg to differ, judging by the hole in the satellite picture. The Yikes, ice we skate is getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire. How about yours?
That's wow. The way I like it. I'll never
it's
get
it. It's like wow. Actually about global warming, and there's wow. Other stuff about it in here.
Yeah, dude. Or it's talking about like his mental stability.
Smash Mouth is woke as shit.
Yeah.
They're who woke. Knew?
Steve Harwell will save us all.
Yep.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm. I never thought about it. I never like listened that deeply.
Me either. That yeah. Was when I sometimes tweak out on lyrics, but that was more just a.
No, yeah. I that happened recently where I was like, I heard it and I was like, what the fuck is this about? I think it's when my nephew knew the lyrics and they were arguing about if it was appropriate for him to sing. And I looked at them and I was like, what the fuck is this song about, actually?
How did he learn the song to know? Was it on, like, YouTube?
I think my sister-in-law was playing it for him. Okay. She was saying it's a good pump-up song before he goes to, like, play basketball. My brother
oh,
was
so cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. I like that.
yeah, but so we were so the Britney, what do you think about this Britney thing? So Britney canceled her residency because her dad got sick. But we have a theory that it's all fake because she doesn't want to keep doing the residency. Because as you were saying, people kind of get sick of doing it, right?
Oh.
It seems like.
You know what? I think I do know that her dad is sick. So that I hope
yes.
That.
No, and I believe
that's true.
Yes. Yeah.
But I also think that for her to continue, personally as a fan, I think for her to continue doing these things, you're serving this audience that, you know, like it's rabid and they love you. And then you get like these pass through people that just show up in Vegas and just do whatever the hell they're going to do.
Right.
But I can't imagine this woman still loves doing like all the hits every night. No new music. 260 mm-hmm. freaking days a year. I can't imagine that she's looking for inspiration. The only thing I'll accept after this is something inspired.
That's what we were saying.
Yeah. We were like, all right, Britney, it's time to get real about how you really feel about shit. And I said, Barbara, I said, that'll be her fucking lemonade.
Yeah.
Is she fucking, because also.
I would die. Yeah. But Blackout was her lemonade. That's the problem.
Oh, that's true.
Such a good point. That's the problem.
Blackout does not get enough credit
ever.
She doesn't get enough credit
because
for
she was losing her
ashes.
Mind
I know.
During it, and nobody wants to say, well, she made her best shit when she was losing her mind. Sometimes the best shit comes.
Exactly.
No,
yeah.
Men are allowed to be drunks and pedophiles and make their best shit.
Yeah.
Rape people, beat people, do whatever
they want. And then, their daddies aren't in charge of their shit.
Exactly.
Mind you, we hadn't heard shit from her. What's the first track of that? It's Britney, bitch.
It's Britney, bitch.
So good.
Remember, I just remember thinking, like, when that came out, wow. She was like, fuck all y'all. That's basically what the album should have been called.
I watched the Piece of Me video after Barbara and I recorded on Wednesday, and I just started crying because I was like, this is so...
Which one? The VMAs?
No, Piece of Me, the official video for the song.
That's right.
It's honestly, I think it's one of my favorite Britney. I mean, it is. And this is a theme that I'm noticing in Britney, because I watched Piece of Me and then I Want to Go.
Yeah.
And both of them have a plot point where a guy in the video who she trusts, she takes off his shirt and there's a bug, or he's a robot or something.
There's a bug?
There's a bug.
Like a wire.
I thought you meant...
Like a wire.
He's so covered in cockroaches.
Yeah, she can't trust anybody.
In Piece of Me, it's a wire. And that was around the time that she got duped into dating that paparazzi. And Piece of Me, it's a wire.
Wow.
And then I Want to Go, he turns out to be a robot.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Womanizer is like my favorite.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Because then she's like fucking these guys up at this point. Like they're all different kinds of guys. And she's like, fuck you, Federline, fuck you, Adnan.
That was really her taking back the power. And she had a lot to do creatively with that video. That was kind of all her concept.
See, that's why I'm saying like she's missed from that
yeah, there needs to be
mind.
a release.
It has to
yeah.
be. And I think, you know, obviously she gets tons and tons of flack for not being able to sing. Needless to say, she lip syncs. We all know that. But I think she's actually a much better singer than people give her credit for. It's just that most people cannot fucking sing their ass off and dance at the
yeah,
same time. Only Beyoncé can. Only Beyoncé.
Only Beyoncé
can. Tina Turner. But, like, you can be the best singer in the world, and to be moving around like that and really singing at your top voice, it wouldn't sound good. So I think if she was able to sit in and, like, have a more not-so-auto-tuned studio recording or something, I think she could sound great.
Auto-tune is so easy. It's so easy for so many of these people. It's just an easy thing to do and accomplish and get what you're going to get across and get the vibe of whatever is now across.
Well, yeah, it's like like Instagram filter. It's like I could like put on a bunch of makeup or I could just do this.
Yeah.
It's way easier.
Easy. Simple.
We're
when
just
I, like,
flipping
look like
into
shit,
the
I'm
avatar
like, let's put on the bunny face. Yeah, we are.
Or I can not show you my face at all and just put hearts on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a puppy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Use that galaxy filter that's real fucking creepy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I like that one.
Oh, my God. I hate that. And I'm so glad that people are like pulling back off of that. I just want to see people be more authentic in 2019. I feel like we're dying for authenticity because we're being pummeled with mistruths and lies.
Yeah.
And that I need people, if you're not leaning into your truth in like a non Sheryl Sandberg way, because her, then I just don't want it. And I, by the way, I didn't watch the Golden Globes because I was like, fuck all you guys.
It was garbage.
Oh, for real.
Yeah. It was such garbage.
I was just like, I don't really give a fuck anymore about that stuff, but what?
Exactly.
I don't want to be one of those people that's like, oh, I hate award shows or I hate the Golden Globes, but like honestly,
it was such pure bullshit.
To love them. I used to love watching them.
When I was a kid, I did.
Yeah. They don't get drunk anymore at the Golden Globes either. Like, Golden Globes is always the messy one.
Yeah,
where
that's when
shit happens.
But the thing is like, I texted a friend of mine and said, we're never going to get another moment of Mel Gibson handing his drink to whomever it was. Was it Rene Russo?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
And I was like, as much as that was disgusting, it's like, but that was kind of like, you know, the way that show went. Mm-hmm. And this, I felt like I was watching like an extended telethon, like Jerry Lewis telethon.
It was awful. The nominees were all bad.
And it looks like all the movies that won were kind of bullshit. Honestly, all I need to see right now is Lady Gaga wearing dresses and talking. So just give me that part.
And him
is that what she talked about?
She, you know, I mean, like, she won for that song, I guess. I don't know. I, like, 100% didn't watch. The only part I watched is when the cute one, he talked about, what's his name? I'm forgetting people's names because I'm like so not in pop culture. The other one who hosted, the guy.
Andy Samberg.
Oh, Andy Samberg. Yes. He's so cute and he's from the Bay like me, and he talked about Black Panthers.
Oh yeah,
and
that was a good joke.
Yeah, that was a good joke. Other than that, I was just like, I like The Favorite. I think she's great. I've seen The Favorite 4 times.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
That's all my, like, I want to watch that and Can You Ever Forgive Me. Those are like my 2 next ones.
I've heard The Favorite is amazing. I can tell you that. Can You Ever Forgive Me? Yeah.
Because I know her from Peep Show and all those comedy shit.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it's really funny. Carol Burnett won something, and that was great to see.
I love her.
That was, like, honestly the highlight of the thing. And then Billy Porter walking down the red carpet.
Yeah.
That's all I gave a shit
about. That's it?
Okay, yeah. So, you know, I'm going to watch those YouTube videos.
And did Green Book win for writing? Because the writers turned out to be a fucking huge piece of shit.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I think it did.
Like, that was just such an embarrassing, you know, event. It's
the,
like,
comedy category is always embarrassing, but
Green
it was
Book
like,
no, Green
comedy?
Book won for, no.
Oh, wait,
no,
oh,
no.
Wait. I, like, didn't know either of the movies, like, in either of the categories. And, like, all of the comedy ones, I was like, these don't look like comedies. All right, what? So I just assumed it was. Never mind. I was like, is it a comedy? I don't know. Is it a fucking comedy? According to them.
It's a comedy.
Yeah.
It's a musical.
They said Crazy Rich Asians is a musical. I don't know.
Oh yeah, they.
Oh yeah, what? They put comedy and musical in the same category. Yeah. That's what it is.
See, Bohemian Rhapsody wasn't a musical.
It's not.
No, it wasn't in the musical category.
It has songs, but it's not.
But
a musical.
It's a lot. I mean, I would categorize it almost as a musical.
All of those people are drunk.
Yeah.
When they're making these decisions. Yeah. It's 100%.
And they're fucking creeps, so whatever.
Yeah, that as well.
They molested Brendan Fraser and fuck them forever.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing about that.
No.
It hit me like a train.
Yes.
Yeah, I refer to the memory of reading about it. I was like,
Yes.
Poor Brendan Fraser.
Fuck that forever.
I just need to soak that in. We'll be right back.
Well, Welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Ruth Winter.
Hi! loud.
Woo! Oh, you're great.
All right, should we, should we address Let It Mellow before we go any further?
Sure, yeah. I
just saw it on the list.
Tess added on. Tess was not here last week, so she listened to the episode.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, and it was funny. It was like, I was like, oh, it's going to be much easier to listen to an episode that I'm not on. So I'm going to check in on the lady, see how the episode went. You know,
yeah.
Grocery shopping, and it's so funny, such a good episode. And then Barbara.
I was like jokingly like, oh, let's talk shit on Tess because she's not here. And then I was like, oh, I think she might have if it's yellow, let it mellow policy, because in the bathroom there was pee and like a little bit of pee and some toilet paper. Mm-hmm. And I was like joking like, oh, I wonder if Tess is like a hippie and she has that.
Yeah. And like, I will say first off, like, not a battery. Like, is it on brand for me to be yellow, let it mellow? Yes.
Yeah.
I get where it came from.
I could see it.
Definitely. Yeah. But you couldn't be further from the truth. I stopped in my tracks in Sprouts, and I was just cackling because I would say I'm aggressively anti-let it mellow. Like, if I go to some hippie's house and they have that sign up, I'm like, well, strokes on you. I'm flushing this because I am not getting someone else's pee splashed back on me.
That's pretty
very anti-let it mellow.
I, of course, should have thought about that because you, I know you're like a hover. You don't like
You're a hover.
Yes, but I'm good at it. I don't get it on the seat.
Oh, honey.
I promise.
I will tell you about the time I was at Coachella and it went down my leg and puddled into my shoe.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
Coachella is like, you gotta just pee in the wind. I don't know.
You have to.
Yeah.
But you know what? The best thing, I will say this for all women, the best thing you can do is learn to get good at peeing outside. Just get fucking. I mean, as a runner, I pee outside all the time because, you know, I'm like, I was running the Rome Marathon and guys were whipping out their dicks left and right. I'm like, I'm not waiting for an outhouse. You know, I'm never going to see these people again. And I just dropped my pants. Fuck it. Honestly, fuck it.
I love you.
So I see why you think, like,
fuck it.
Totally.
Guys
get
just whipping their dicks out and peeing and running.
Yeah. So, so you might see my pussy
for a second. At the same time?
No, we pull. Oh, okay. You just pull over to the side of the road without
but
your dick.
But that takes a lot less time.
It takes way less time. And like, I'm sweaty and gross anyway. It's a little pee in my underwear. Like, whatevs.
Whatevs. It's fine.
So emphatically not mellowing at all, I see.
Also, man, I don't think I've been in a house. I don't think I've been somewhere in a long time that had like a sign that said
oh my God, that's very San Francisco. I feel like I grew up seeing like 70 of them.
Yeah,
that's like the every three of my friends at school's parents had it.
It was actually
awkward
stitches.
If you did it.
Right.
They don't have a mellow sign here.
Oh my God.
Like, you were only in there for 30 seconds and then I heard a flush. So, did you see the sign? Like, timing. You're like, excuse me. You weren't in there long enough.
Excuse me, this water is clear.
Yeah. testing it, sampling it, like, put it through a window.
I just laugh because on our little, like, rundown of the show, it's like, I just see Let It Mellow. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
We need to address this publicly. Tess's bathroom policy.
So please, if you come into my house, please flush the toilet.
Please.
Absolutely.
Don't let it mellow. Make it.
No.
Make it clear.
Make it clear.
If it's near, make it clear.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, let's play this game. We get to know you a little bit better, ask you some questions.
Oh.
It's called Who, What, When, Where, Why. It's very easy.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I love that.
There's no right or wrong answers.
Oh, great. Yes. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when,
why? Who is your favorite pop icon?
Oh,
that's
I work for
question.
Her, J-Lo.
Oh,
hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Have you gotten to meet her?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so do you work pretty closely with her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, she's definitely J-Lo. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
So she's from the block.
She's from the block.
Does she have, like, an aura and, like, a choir of angels?
Yes. Working for her is, like, the best thing to ever happen. Because, like, I've been in love with her since I was, like, 16 years old and not in a Yolanda Saldivar way. very much leaning into, like, I just think she's a great role model. Mm-hmm. Very iconic. Mm-hmm. I really like the fact that she does multiple things. She's definitely an icon. She's definitely inspirational. Her body is sick. Like, she's one of those women where I was always like, if I was going to be a celebrity, this is the kind of celebrity I would be.
Yes.
She does it really well.
She does it really
well. She's not, it doesn't feel like, she feels like she's very in control when she's in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And then she's not really in it any other time.
Yeah. And she's not like, she doesn't, that's what you see is what she gets. She's very WYSIWYG. Like, she is a straight up, like, get to the point, does her job, you know, keep your shit together and represent her well. And I think I do all those things. I make it every month. And, you know, yeah. in the month I'm like, wait, should I still work for her? But she's also just inspirational. She works, she's a really hard worker and mm-hmm. does lots of different things. And I like that. I'm drawn to that.
I love that. 'Cause you're right. She doesn't, I mean, she's obviously a fucking icon and I don't think she comes up first when you think of people.
She doesn't get enough credit. She's been an actress for so long.
A singer. Like she's done fucking everything. You're right. Yeah. She looks incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, from being a fly girl, she doesn't.
I watched her movies like all the time. I watched Backup Plan last night and I was like, she's so freaking harmless. Like all her movies are designed to make you think, inspire, feel relatable. Like every single movie that she's ever made, I can relate to every single one of them.
I will say, talking about someone, I wish someone would write like a really good part for her.
I think it's coming.
Yeah, because yeah. I do think she's a good actress. I do think she's a good actress. And I don't get me wrong, I like a J-Lo movie, but yeah. they're always a little...
No, she's got one coming movie. Up yeah. that sure I think she that do. She's going to start soon that I think is really going to stir the pot. Yes. I'm like super cool. excited yes. about this one.
Is it like a Ryan Murphy thing?
I was literally saying the other day that I like I don't often give my opinions to J-Lo, but I was like, the next time I have one of those like, hey kid, come in here moments, I'm gonna be like, you should be on Ryan Murphy, because she does yeah. listen to my random bullshit that I say. But this is more like a you know, she's definitely going into like a territory that's like a Scorsese.
Okay,
kind of back to her roots with the one she did with Clooney.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
What does she do with Clooney? I don't remember.
Why is it escaping me right now? And I'm supposed to be her
biggest
fan.
Is it a Coen Brothers movie?
No. You all know the name. Out of Sight.
Yes.
Escaping me because it's like sometimes I forget. I'm like, wow.
Oh, man. That's so cool to like know. You know what I mean? Obviously, like you can have somebody as an icon, but you actually work with her, know her, and see in person, everything.
What's the energy read that you get off of J-Lo?
That she is about her business. Yeah.
And she runs it too.
And
right?
she runs it.
That's cool.
She's got like a goal. She's like got a goal. And what she says is what she says to people like in interviews and stuff like that, that's like how she is. Mm-hmm. And I think that like her energy that I get off of her is really strong. She's Leo. So it's like it just it's before you even get in the door, you feel like she's in the building. Like, oh, she's in the house. Like she's somewhere. Wow. Like you can feel that. And my funniest thing I think is the cutest is like one of my best friends is her husband like had a meeting with her yesterday separately, not related to anything I do. And she said, I walked in the room and he had changed his outfit 4 times. And I was like, oh my God, Alan did the same thing when we went to the Christmas party. He like changed his outfit like 6 times. And my husband, Alan, and she was like, why do they just get like, men can't control themselves when they're, I was like, it's
well,
just
yeah,
a
but
weird
could you imagine? I mean, what if we were going to meet like Brad Pitt? How many outfit changes? I would literally.
I mean, he's pretty filthy now. So I feel like I could wear whatever I want.
Brad Pitt. I don't know why I have such a crush on Brad Pitt.
You're so on Angelina's side.
No, I'm not. No. No, I just know that he's like a filthy hippie that lives in the hills around
Franklin
now. Oh,
you mean like
now.
Filthy like that? Oh, okay.
No. Like physically filthy.
Yeah. No, he's cleaning it up a little bit.
Okay, all right.
I like him greasy.
But he isn't somebody who I'd be like, I mean,
I feel like he'd be like a nice yoga pant and a slouchy sweater, and he'd be like,
with his dick flopping around.
Yeah. Oh. Shabby old fucking Brad Pitt, who even made a bathrobe look sexy. I hope everything works out for him.
Well, I'm obsessed with Ben Affleck, and I like knew that I was gonna see him one night. And
I get thinking he's hot.
I just think that I've always thought he's hot.
Yeah,
that's probably why I like her and him the same amount of love for them. And like I consented to the flirting, and so I just want to make that clear.
Ben Affleck flirted with you?
Oh my God. And we were like, because we met before, and then I kept and I was, this is before I got married, so I was like, I got so much heat off of that video. That's how my husband came back around. He saw that video on my Twitter, and we weren't talking at the time. We were just like being like, hey, casual. And he like saw, and literally like the next day I was like, all of a sudden I get a phone call from him.
Ah. So Affleck is responsible for your
100%. Once you see my husband, it'll completely make sense why I love Ben Affleck.
He's your what's that Will Smith movie? Hitch. He's your hitch.
He's my hitch.
Yeah, Ben Affleck is your hitch. There you
go. He really is. I got so much mileage off of that.
Is he super tall?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
So, what about
my husband?
How do you feel about the Phoenix tattoo?
Yeah.
That back tat is a hell of a thing.
That's a divorce cat.
That's a divorce cat.
Yes, it is.
I said that I made my husband get a tattoo because he had a tattoo from his first wife, and I made him get a tattoo for me, which is my name in Hebrew, which is so rando because neither one of us are Jewish. But I was like, if you get this tattoo, that's love, because that has like, you are like a wasp from North Carolina, and this is way off course for you. Right. He got it. So I don't know that I guess if it's on the back and I'm not looking at the back, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're not seeing it very much, but man, just that.
Again, when you are.
Woo! There's no missing
it. But this is like the SoCal trash in me. Like, I kind of like a bad tattoo.
Yeah, see, that's the SoCal. You like a tramp stamp, don't you?
Mark McGrath.
You know I knew it. Let me see it.
It's literally the tramp.
Oh, girl. It's the tramp.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I really want to take a picture of it and be like, you guys want to see the most ironic tattoo in the history of body art? It's Reddit. I mean, I'm sorry, I would put it on Reddit because it would go to number one.
Oh,
I just thought of it. Anyway.
I should put my tat on Reddit.
You should put your tramp stamp deserves Reddit first page.
Yeah. I love my tramp stamp. It's so stupid and big.
it's so stupid and big.
It's big, but like his is his entire back. I don't mind bad tattoos. Like on like if his was like smaller, but it is crazy how big it is.
It's the whole thing. It's like torso, shoulders. It's like gonna be hard to remove if you wake up one day. Not, you know, he must have gotten that when he was not sober.
No, that's his for life, for sure. But then, like, just think about the front of those shoulders.
I mean, he just can't walk past a mirror. You got to get rid of all the mirrors in your house.
I mean, I would for sure. I think he's super hot. I would for sure. And that's not holding me back from any Ben
like
Affleck.
He's hot in that way of, like, you know, he's kind of dumb. And I was like,
he's very intelligent.
Do you think?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
I think he's just an addict. Which, you know, I'm like, my husband is sober, so it's like, I got it. I nailed that. Get it.
So,
they can just, they're really dumb when they're drunk.
Right.
Mm. So that's like the issue. So you have to like negotiate those moments of brilliance, and you have to really like sit on them and like harvest them.
This is random.
It's a lot of work being
with an addict. You guys don't watch Love Island. Look how much this one guy looks like him from Love Island. Does he? You don't think he does?
Who? Let me see.
Not really.
He actually looks more like Brody Jenner.
No.
All right. Never mind.
Yeah.
I played Brody Jenner's cousin on an episode of MTV's Bromance.
I thought you were gonna say on an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No. No, this is pre-Kardashian. Or this is maybe.
No, this was post.
Was Bromance?
Bromance was like right around the same time.
Okay.
They just threw a bunch of stuff at the wall.
Yeah.
The show was not going well.
A show that had like a storyline? I thought it was reality.
No, yeah, it was a reality show.
Well, like all
but you
reality
played
shows.
Okay.
By the way, to be his cousin for one episode, and then I was too funny for the show, and it just didn't make sense.
Oh wow!
It was like I was doing jokes and stuff.
She's like, I was too funny for the show.
I was too good for.
Well, when you watch the show, you're like, oh, clearly a bit was not gonna like it's a reality show. Yeah. A bit is not gonna.
They just
work
need
here.
You to be like angry about something very minimal.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, but anyway.
I will say, speaking about being real, if Kris Jenner was to ever write a book where she like got real about her life and like how she built her empire,
eat it up.
Surprised that hasn't happened yet.
But she would need to drop a layer of the Kris Jennerness and really get real and be. Because what an interesting and crazy life she has had, and talk about smart people.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by her.
Yeah. She needs the right medium because I think the show serves her just fine, but I feel like. You know, every other opportunity she's tried to do other things like her talk show and, you know, when she tries to be human on a red carpet, it's like, okay,
yeah,
don't speak so much.
Yeah.
But then it's like when she's contained amongst her people, it flows. The dynamic is good.
Right.
Everything else, I'm just like.
That's why she had to send out her progeny to like do that aspect of it. Like she's more
they're
behind
all
the
an element of her neuroses and narcissism.
She's fucking amazing.
Yeah. It's brilliant. I don't know that I could go through 6 kids for that.
No.
You know, by the time I mean, that's what
I'm planning on. If I don't succeed, I'm
you better get started
shit
now.
Out and be
she
like,
her first kid
you will
22.
Be a star.
No, she had her first kid at 22. You got to start early. I'm already fucking late.
Yeah.
I'd have to have like quintuplets or something.
Well, and no, I'm going to have one and it's going to be famous or I'll
fuck it. Yeah. And then if
that's good, start early.
You failed me.
You guys are all going to be great parents.
Can't wait. Knock it right out of the park.
But yeah, I mean, I just feel like the fact that she watched her best friend get murdered and her husband defend that guy. And a lot of people could have just ended it all there. And she was like, no. I'm going to build a successful empire. And then she spawned the Kardashians.
Everything that's happened to her, you know, marrying Bruce, who became Caitlyn, like, you know, just having the idea to make her daughter's sex tape on available online. Like,
it's Shakespearean.
I mean, your reactions are my reactions.
Yeah.
While saying
I don't think I knew that.
Oh,
I thought it leaked.
No, that's what I mean. She's been
those leaks are never a leak.
She's been in the driver's seat the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it?
Brandy's like, nope.
I mean, I'm not a fan. I can respect the work. I'm not a fan.
That's how I feel.
I'm not a fan of a lot of their shit because they're also like, didn't that guy have a brain aneurysm and they wouldn't let the daughter divorce him or some shit?
Who, Lamar?
Yeah.
Like he's still divorced.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Lamar really fucked over Chloe.
Yeah.
I literally
that was all... She got fucked over by this guy, too.
Yeah, poor Chloe, and she's my favorite. But
really?
Yeah.
Least favorite.
She's I think she's the realest. Have you seen
I don't watch any
Cocktails with Chloe?
Courtney
is legit
my favorite.
I like Courtney.
Maybe because I'm the oldest and older kid.
I'm the oldest, too.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I just like how she's just like, I'm just doing this for the checks. Like, that's her vibe.
No, don't get me wrong. I like Courtney, but I kind of love Chloe.
Chloe is a little bit more relatable because she's a middle child.
She's a middle child, and she kind of doesn't have a fuck to give, and she's kind of her own, like, brand of hot, and she has really cool style, and she's kind of a business person, and she's a cool single mom. Like, she got fucked over by her baby daddy, and she's, like, making the most of it.
Yeah, and she's making the most of it.
They're all multimillionaires. Of course they are.
Right.
I can't keep up with that life.
It's hard because I just can't help but associate, like, that with like what we're going through with the normalization. So it's like so hard, you know, and they deserve to have success, but I think just the normalization of reality TV and where we are.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I will say, not to be a total Kardashian apologist, but let's face it, I am one. Kim is, I think, doing a very good job of understanding the platform that she has, and she's really put a lot of like work into speaking about prison reform and stuff like that. Like,
I just wish
she
didn't have to be there. You know what I mean? Like, I wish we weren't in the position we're in.
I do too, but like, I think
it's a new development.
I think it's a little bit different than what got Donald Trump. I mean, I think it's almost like the opposite.
It's different, but it's the same beast. The reality TV is the same beast
for sure. And she's not dumb. Like, she's thinking about the next 10 years. She's about to be 40. I'm not saying that turning 40 is like, I'm literally leaning into like the MILF of it all. Like, I can't wait to like, I literally have a plan to get hotter, get pregnant, try to stay hot while pregnant, have a baby, try to keep the hotness and have like maybe like a month of like, fuck it. And then try to keep that going so I can be a hot MILF. And then, like, I'm like, what does that plan look like? Like, I'm pre-researching, like, I looked at Kyle Richards' Instagram today. I was like, how do you prepare
I mean, for sure,
all of this?
I was saying, like, if I get the money, I'm doing the suck the fat out of my stomach and put it in my ass shit.
No.
I'm doing that shit.
Well, wait, after you've had the baby?
No, I don't even, no, this is not any baby involved.
Okay.
In general.
Because I'm thinking about, I'm only saving money for plastic surgery for post-baby.
Right.
Like, I want to be. Who have done that.
Okay, good. Like, I literally don't want anyone to talk to me or look at me for like 6 weeks after that baby.
Yeah, just binge watch it.
Yeah,
reemerge,
heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let my boobs.
I don't think anybody wants to.
No, in general,
nobody wants to see it. But you want to make sure you're also spending time with that kid in a way like. Like able
That's
to
happen.
Bond physically
with the child. We're just gonna make it sure like I'm very good at hibernating and like not leaving my house and setting things up around me. Like I'm on like 600-pound life and I'm able to like, you know, that Miss Cho makes me so sad and I feel for those people and I love that. I'm not trying to mock them, but literally I do the same thing that they do. So like, I don't know how I think I'm better than them. And I'm literally like capable of putting together a situation where I just like, you know, can breastfeed and heal and
everything right there.
My body's been through a lot. I've gained and lost like 50 pounds for the last 15 years of my life and like my body is just wrecked. So I need to have a baby and get through that and then I need to pull all my shit back together.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Okay, so you're knowing that, I mean, because you want to have a kid, so you're like, I'm not going to like go nuts now then have a kid.
I would easily be 400 pounds and I'm not one of those women, like I always feel like really happy for women who are like very like fat positive and feel good about their bodies and love themselves. I personally, and I feel guilty for this because I am plus size, I don't like it. Like, I don't like it, and I don't feel like it is, it has nothing to do with Instagram. It's for me. Like, I will never be a twig, but I hate that what I've done to my body. Like, I get really skinny and hot and work out, and then I just blow up.
Yeah. Do you think that if you got the surgery, you'd be able to put the mental practices in place that, like, have made you yo-yo like that? Because, like, I for sure have that issue, too. And I feel like it's, like, to me, it's more mental than a physical thing.
Right.
Of getting myself to, like, in the right habits and consistently doing them.
Yeah.
Because you see so many people kind of, like, continue to yo-yo. And it's, like, if you if you do that...
I don't know. I mean, I'm in the exact same place you are, where I feel that same way too, where I'm like, but if I got there, then I would be like, great, I know I can be here, I can stay here. But it's the like, attempting to get there for a million years.
It's like, you just need to pay off the credit card and get a fresh start.
No, because it's like, I can always pinpoint like where I was in my life, where I was committed to it. And ever since I got married, like I gave, like I've never had somebody that was like a mirror to myself before like that.
Yeah.
And we mirror each other. And I just noticed, like, he stopped, you know, he's my husband's sober. And he, like, you know, when he, like, relapsed last summer right before our wedding. And I didn't notice that he had, like, been gaining weight. Because he's, like, one of those closet quiet drinkers. And then I noticed after he, like, again, you know, he broke 3 years of sobriety. Fair enough. He married me. I get it. And then... I appreciate him, but thank God for him not being super messy, because he pulled his shit back together and turned it right back around. And it's been like 6 months now that he's been sober again. And I noticed he just like just got really svelte, you know what I mean? Without little to no effort. And I said, I gained weight while I didn't know you were suffering. And now that you're no longer suffering, I'm still dealing with the suffering of the suffering.
Right. Yeah.
So I think he's like, okay, how can I help you? And I'm like, you can do nothing for me right now. If I'm going to have a baby, I have to take care of my own shit. So I think the mental is like, I take on other energy.
Yeah. As someone who's so like empathetic to energies.
I was like, how I gotta be here for him. I can't go out. I gotta check up on him. I got okay when I'm, you know, traveling, I don't know if he's doing his thing or not, and I'm just like, so I'm eating and then I was like, I can't be around J-Lo. I can't be around my really super cute husband who's tries so hard and does a really great job of it. I have to give him a lot of kudos for just like knowing how to get shit done when it comes to stuff like that. But I just don't want my body to go through any more pain. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't want to think about my, like, I think everything when I wake up in the morning, the first things I think about are what the fuck has Trump done and my body. And I was like, this narrative, one has been going on my whole life.
Right.
The other one has been for 2 fucking years.
Right.
And it's like, something's got to go. Because I can't get rid of one of them I want to.
For sure.
So this is, I got to deal with this so I can just stop thinking about that. So I don't even know how we got there. What a tangent.
No, that's fine. Who's your favorite icon?
Sorry, Brandy. I feel like I'm just
you're great. You're great.
No, I agree. I'll just say I'm in the same place where it's like everyone has their own way they feel about their body. Yeah. We all feel good one way or and I follow so many fat positive, like beautiful women on who own it and like love themselves and they love themselves the way they love themselves. And I know how I feel best about myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know where it is, and it's not at certain points.
Yeah, and I think there's a certain point, like, again, I think it is, and I think everyone should feel so comfortable in their own skin, and it's obvious when someone is. And I'm so happy for someone. But there's a way of, I think it's sort of like, you don't really have a right to tell someone else how they should feel about their body.
Exactly.
It's like that is a personal relationship, and it's like,
I feel guilty saying it.
I know what you mean.
I do
such
too.
A sensitive, weird thing. And and it's like, I'm sorry, but that's your truth.
It's my truth.
It's my truth. And it's like, that is what it is. You telling me it isn't going to make me feel any better. It's not going to, like, this is my...
And I've come a long way as far as accepting myself and what I have, and that I won't be like a certain thing or what I want, you know, but I do love myself for who I am, but it is just like, I know how, when I'm most comfortable.
And exactly. That's kind of, and I think that's everybody should have that feeling for themselves. I know I will never be And when I say, I said earlier, and I have to like correct myself in this, when I say skinny and hot, for me, skinny for me is still bigger than most girls. And it's just the way my body shape is. Like, I'm, when I'm fit and like feeling fantastic, and like those moments are like the best moments ever. But also, it's like, I don't know that I want to be milfy. And that's what I'm saying about like the whole.
We got to get you some cheetah print.
Yes,
right?
Yes, I like
Chris
that.
Jenner. No, I just say like, you know, I want to bond with my baby and stuff like that. But I also don't want to end up being like the, I watched Tully. Have you guys seen Tully?
No.
Mm-mm.
With Charlize Theron. And oh, like, yeah.
I was that. Thinking oh, well. Sully. I was like,
have you guys watched Sully about the guy who this landed the plane pilot. In the freaking.
I don't want to end up like a goose in an engine.
That's exactly. What, yeah. No, I was like, Charlize Theron and like the whole, you know, Diablo Cody, like trilogy. Well, no, because Juno, she always says the first one. But anyway, like Tully and then young adult, like I definitely felt like before I got married, I was a lot like Mavis Gray and young adult 100%. And then I feel like I'm Mavis Gray if Buddy just was like, cool, let's just get out of here, which is, you know what I mean? Like, and that's, so like now it's like, okay, I have to just like, not continue to be Mavis Gray tendencies because I have to like be a wife now, which I don't know what that means. I just know for me it means not like being as, you know,
and if that's what you
it is kind of annoying kind of because like I feel the same way like being married. It's like I there is like this part of me that just wants to be a piece of shit. Like yes! I actually just want to be shitty and it's like I fucking can't because someone's watching me. So
exactly.
Okay, I'll do good.
That's exactly it. Last night he came home and I was annoyed because I don't know why I was annoyed. And he was like, I was watching Marie Kondo. Was that her name?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. And I was trying to figure out if she was like a simulation. And then I realized she was an actual human. And he comes in and I'm just like, hi. And he's like, hi. Or he was mocking me because I ate some of his candy. And and I said, and I threw the bag at him. And then we both this is our dynamic, my husband and I. We just both let it sit in the middle of the kitchen floor for like 20 minutes until somebody decided to pick it up. Like we were playing off each other. And then at one point I said, see, like the girl who was like didn't want to give her books up, and Marie was like touch them, make them feel joy, and I was like, this is exactly what I'm saying. He was like, this is bad for space, this is not efficient, and he was giving me his criticism. He's like, it's bad for the economy, and I literally was just like, fuck the economy, and it was just went dead silent for like 10 minutes. He was like, and 10 minutes later, he's like, are you in a bad mood?
Fuck the economy.
Fuck the economy.
Sometimes you just need to scream fuck the economy in your own home.
Fuck the economy.
Yo, fuck the economy. We'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. We're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Winter.
Hi.
Yeah.
And should we do a lady problem?
Wait, I have to say, you guys, I have to say hello, hello, or everybody's going to think I changed.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Hello, hello.
There's Winter. There's Winter.
Slow clap.
She's still the same Winter, everybody.
That's like if you come out there and don't sing.
Yeah,
closer.
You gotta sing. Yeah. You gotta do your bit. You gotta do your catchphrase.
That's my closer.
She gave it to you.
And I gave it to you.
Have you seen? Now the thing is, closer. Obviously, I have one association with
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
XXL.
Have you seen Magic Mike 2?
Okay, I didn't watch it in its entirety.
Oh. What is why?
Because it's. At a certain point, it just gets like secondhand embarrassment.
Oh no, you gotta watch it. How far did you get?
I got to when he went to the grocery store, or the convenience store, and was dancing for the lady.
Oh.
Is that the second one?
You didn't like that?
That was the only part I liked.
Well, there's more of that.
Okay. It picks up from there.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's kind of the beginning.
Give in to the corniness of it. Give in to the corniness, because it's a little corny,
it's a dance
but it's real fun.
The last half hour is, like, truly amazing.
Okay.
And excellent use of the song Closer.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You got to watch it for that alone.
Okay, I might just go to YouTube.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Bypass all that.
We're going to do a lady problem. If you have lady problems, send them to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Sup, ladies. I've been involved in the performing arts since I was about 5. I've never done huge things, but I'm booked regularly in commercials, and I've done some little stuff on some cable networks, and I do a fair amount of industrials. My goal has always been to level up and make performance my full-time job. I'm regularly told that I'm good at what I do, and I don't think it's smoke-blowing. I also feel like I'm good. Actually, I think I'm great. I think that was me doing an LOL, but I didn't want to say LOL. So I went,
that was your dramatic interpretation.
Yeah,
LOL.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Actually, I think I'm great. I just wanted to sound like I was laughing at her. I think more women should own what they know they're good at and fuck being humble.
Yes.
Yeah. I want all the women in the world to brag about what they're good at. Men certainly have no problem with this.
Yep.
Okay, so the quote problem. I was at a gathering recently and my agent was there. After a couple of drinks, I pulled her to the side and go, so don't get mad at me. I don't even know if I'd actually do it, but what would you say if I get lip fillers? I've been told it will help balance my smile. That's one thing on camera I'm slightly self-conscious about. My smile is a little crooked and I occasionally talk out of the side of my mouth, something I worked at training myself out of. And I knew her response would be, oh my God, no, which it was. But then she lowers her voice and she said, if I had to suggest anything, a breast reduction would help you. I know. I know I've got huge boobs. LOL, it's no secret. I'm rocking a 34G at 5'2". It's apparent in my headshot. It's never been a secret. I've never once thought that they were keeping me from bookings, though. But there it is. Then I started thinking about it, how when I go on auditions, I wear a sports bra to tame them down. On shoots, wardrobe always seems to have an issue. I shot a commercial that took them 4 hours to dress me. They had to keep running back and forth to Target, wherever. I made the joke on set, Christina Hendricks never had to deal with this. The response was I got was, Christina Hendricks doesn't do commercials for a national discount hotel chain either.
Wow.
Def laughed real hard at that. They weren't wrong. So the seed has been planted. All I seem to notice now is these heavy-ass tits and everything I wear. I'm usually body positive as fuck, but this has me shook a little bit. One of my goals in 2019 is to establish representation in Atlanta, or at the least, start getting work down there. Now I'm thinking I'm going to have a much harder time because of my build. I know you're not going to say, yeah, girl, go cut your tits off, but what advice would you give? I have a voice whispering to me, the talent is there, but your body isn't right, so don't waste your time, and I don't want to listen to it. But what if I spend the next 15 years just spinning my wheels because I'm not, quote, small enough? I know that no matter my size or how I look, there will always be a role I can't get because it's not right for me, but I want every opportunity to be seen. So my question distilled down is this. Should I consider altering my body in an effort to change my to chase my dreams, where I've been told by reputable sources that it will indeed help me? What would you do if you were in my shoes? Oh, XO busting out.
Ugh. Well, I can for sure fucking relate to this. Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ.
Yeah.
And I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, no, you should never do anything you don't want to do to your body. I would never recommend any of that ever, of course. That said, I mean, that is, people aren't joking when they talk about the entertainment industry being fucked up.
Yeah.
This is the, honestly, it is.
This is what it's like.
Athletes have to take performance-enhancing drugs, and half the people on New York Fashion Week are on coke, and, like, the reality fucking is Lance Armstrong is also on hormones. Like, if your job, and it sounds like what you primarily like doing is commercials, and that is a lot of times a medium shot. And I'm heavy, I'm big chested too, like kind of for my build, you know. And like,
medium shot is all you see.
Medium
boobs.
Shot is all you get. And so, like, and I also wear sports bra. And like, so I don't think that you should feel any shame at all if this is an option that you're considering, because you're in an unconventional crap. It's a weird thing when you're a performer and your likeness is part of your business. It's a fucking weird situation.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to do it, I of course always say don't do it. But also don't be mad at yourself if you do want to do it.
Yeah. I think so.
So in other words, yeah, girl, cut your tits off.
Yeah.
Today. I don't know if there's might be new listeners. I had a breast reduction a few years ago, like I did it not because, here's my thing. I think make sure you do it because you definitely want it.
Yes.
Like, do not do it because of an outside influence told you to do it.
Right.
If you legitimately are like, I think this will make me feel better. Like, the worst thing that could happen is like you do it and like you don't get the things, and then you're like, what the fuck? I loved my body and I don't like my body now.
Right.
Like, it's gotta come from like you legitimately thinking that it will make you stronger and better in some way. You know? I mean, I don't know. You also might have a shit agent, you know? It's very
that
possible.
Is way more likely.
Yeah, and I will say that in general, anyone who deals with agents, don't let something that one. I wish I had if I had one lesson I could tell my 20-year-old self, is like, just because someone's an agent doesn't mean you have to listen to them.
They're fucking idiots. They're fucking stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's. Yeah. that. But I do think that I see exactly, because like I'm saying, commercials, if that's your jam, it is.
And you
be...
see, and generally the people on commercials are, it is. I mean, I fucking identify with this so much. I think about it constantly.
Yeah.
Going into auditions, hiding them. You know, I'm a, I'm a 36E, so I'm like right, I'm not quite as big, but right behind you.
Yeah,
and
I was
like,
a double G, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's so, I mean, I'm doing this shoot next week where I am like, literally like, all I'm thinking about is what I'm gonna like, what I'm gonna wear, and how, how my boob strategies for a fucking stand-up set, because I don't want, heaven forbid, people see how big my boobs are during my set, you know, and to distract them or whatever.
And this is another one of those things where I feel like everyone's like, so you're, I love girls that are big chested. It's like, that's cool. This is my, that's great, and I'm glad you like my tits, but like, this is my reality, and I don't have to feel a certain
and
way
also,
about it.
And also, it just, when it is on camera, it's not a joke. It really does go, you look at that, like, that's what you see. It's not, and I see on other people, I see it on myself. It's not like, for some reason, that's just what we're looking at, and that's where eyes go, and it's unfortunate, but that's just part of the fucking deal. So yeah, I do, I totally get it, and like, I've thought about it before, and I'm in the same way. I love my boobs. I think they're amazing. I would feel it would be weird, but like, I have considered before, like, if it helped me, then doing it, because it's like, you know, it is, like Tess said, it's real. It's like part of our livelihood. Yeah. And it's bizarre to have your body tied up in this, but it's
but we
true.
Went into like an unconventional, I mean, it's a weird.
Yeah, yesterday, you know? When I was like getting ready for an audition, I was like doing my, you know, I don't do, I'm so bad at maintenance. I don't like, you know, do my brows. I need to get my teeth white and stuff like that. These people who do this every day do this. And I was like, oh, I don't keep up with any of this shit, but that's what the people who get this stuff do.
It's work.
It's work.
I mean, like getting ready for my wedding, I told Sean, I was like, I get the, I mean, it is. I was busy. Just it took me weeks to get hot.
Yes, yeah,
yes, weeks. Yes.
And it just it took me weeks just to not have shadows on my body.
Yes,
right.
Of my body.
Yes.
I was like, I'm not gonna lose a ton of weight, but I'm gonna tone the fuck up. And I'm like walking around like all toned and everything. That took like 6 months just to feel somewhat not just. And then I like. Go. I had to get a dress to accommodate my boobs because I said all I asked was like one thing of him. I was like, just tell me what you would like to see when I come down the aisle. And he was like, I want to see your face. I wanted you to have big hair. I want to see your boobs.
Most honest husband ever.
Most honest husband ever. And I was like, okay, I can get a dress like that. But then it's just like, I don't want to tell this girl.
Yeah. She loves her body.
She loves her body.
Yeah.
And I feel like the two people that came to mind when she was talking about it was Drew Barrymore, which I can't not see anything that she does because she got a breast reduction.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And she lived
I haven't noticed her boobs being any different.
No, she got like maybe went down two cup sizes, but like she used to just like just pull them out and just like do whatever she wanted to do with them. And I know she's older now and she's settled and she's got kids and stuff like that. But I just remember that and Scarlett Johansson. Like mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson got hers reduced and she's more, you know, what's he say, lithe and like you know, can like flaunt around and flip off of buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, there's something about your energy that you bring when you're like connected to your body. And I know I said just a few minutes ago that I would totally get my boobs done. I just want everything put back in place in a better way that they were before. I really don't subscribe to like huge, heavy alterations like that. Like, like I think butt implants are weird. I think freezing your fat is weird. I think all those things are weird, but
I froze my fat.
Did it work?
No.
See?
No. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Reduction's a big thing, but I don't think it's that. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
Well, and I think to me, like the thing is to big boobs society, you're over sexualized so much. Like for me, a major part of why I did it was like because I hated the way that I felt like they defined me sexually to everybody.
Yes.
And I felt like everyone saw that before they saw me at all. 100%. So to me, it was me taking power back and being like, no, I don't, this is not how I want to be defined.
Yeah.
So
but, like,
yeah.
If she doesn't feel that way. If you fucking love your boobs and you don't want them any different, then I will say like, it's not easier. It's much harder, but there's a way to just like, that's your thing.
That's your
make
thing.
It your thing.
Make it your thing.
I mean, you're gonna. That means you go the opposite route and you just lean into it. And like somebody needs a big titted girl on commercials. Make that you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want you to become Charo about it, but like you know,
oh, Charo's like my godmother.
Yeah,
is she actually your godmother?
I mean, like we talk every few months and she like gives me advice.
See how excited I am? I'm telling you, I'm psyched. psychic. No, I'm not being like, it wasn't just like, I've just been talking
Charles in my soul circle for obviously.
I've been talking about Charles. I've made 3 Charles references this week alone.
I was like,
the Charo.
But I do, I will say the thing is, like, if you make this decision to do this, I'm sure will have the ability to still love your body, like in whatever position it's in.
Yeah, yeah, and for sure.
I'm sure that if in the future you'll also like come to terms with it, and I'm sure be amazing and look incredible either way. So, you know,
and like just also kind of, if you reduce them, and like we've come so far with like different cutlets you can put in stuff into, like if you reduce them
and you have it bigger
to
again.
Get the cutlets, you know, I mean, like there's ways
where was a cutlet?
It's the little thing. They're like little rubber flaps that you put in abroad to make your boobs look bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, if you want, instead of getting a button,
it's easier to go bigger than small.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, there are ways, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I can't imagine your back is feeling great.
Yeah.
5'2", you're so close to the ground.
The other thing I was going to say is you're wearing sports bras, these things. I wear minimizers all the time, especially for auditions and stuff, and they make a big difference. Bali. BALI minimizers on Amazon. Try those. Those have helped me out a lot. So they make a huge difference in everything I wear.
Do they flatten or do they just...
They just make them look smaller.
Okay.
They're like in general.
Yeah, I feel like I always wear sports bras just because that's the best thing I found to just squish them down.
Yeah.
You lose the shape. It just
becomes... That's the thing. Yeah. The shape. Mono boob. And it's the shape and like it's a really good in between of the sports bra and that. So I would look into minimizers, trying those on for now while you're like deciding.
Yeah.
And that could help you just in the interim, like for... these, you know, just feeling like you're not.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, that's the thing too. Like, we have so much cool technology nowadays. Another thing, if you have a friend who's like good at Photoshop, see if she'll Photoshop your boobs smaller for you.
I mean, in my headshots, I had them crop them out because I just didn't want them distracted, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, just so she can see what she would look like, just have a friend give you an idea.
That's a good idea.
That's so smart.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. So you would like be like, oh, this is what I would look like. Yeah. Would I feel comfortable doing this?
You just walk around
that's a good
with
idea.
It and like,
man,
your
I want to do that. I just want to
take me too.
I'm going to take a bunch of nude pictures and then Photoshop.
Yes.
Just shrink it down real quick.
Just go into the doctor. I'll have shot copies. Yeah.
Do it just like this.
Also, maybe have this conversation with your agent while they're sober. You know?
Yeah.
This was said drunkenly at a party. I feel like,
but that's
when
people say honest shit.
They're honest also. True.
But are... I don't know. Maybe they could be shitty and catty too.
I mean, this is.
Like, I don't think that's a catty. I don't think that's something catty to say.
I think, and again, this is one of these just shitty realities of the entertainment industry. But I think it's. As someone who's busty, I think I get it. I get it.
Right.
No, I mean, I get it too. I guess it's also. I don't know.
I mean,
I just don't
shitty.
Trust those people at all. So I just like.
Well, that's why they do the jobs they do.
Yeah, I know.
She wouldn't be saying it to get her less work. Like, she's, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
She could be also fucking wrong. That's the problem.
Yeah, she could be
she
wrong.
Could
she
be wrong, could be totally but wrong. As somebody who literally lives this experience, I don't necessarily think
right,
she is.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
If I had zero experience with it, I would say that, but I think it sounded like an instance
you're
where...
You're basically saying you're not experienced enough to know. I'm Barb, I am.
That's like, I don't know if there was any truth to this, but I had a writing teacher in college tell me to dye my hair red. And she was like, no one's going to take you. You don't seem as smart as you are because you're blonde.
Wow.
And it haunts me. I love being blonde. And like, it is, I love being blonde. I love it. But I think about that a lot. And I think she might have been on. I do feel like people don't think I'm as smart as I am because of my fucking hair color.
I went from blonde to Auburn and people talk to me completely differently. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been talked to at different points in my life because I change the way I look all the time.
Right.
And people talk to me as a completely different person depending on how I'm looking at different times. Yeah, because I used to be blonde, and it was like, I got harassed
so this
more.
Is
and,
the
yeah.
same trip.
Yeah, these are the realities. It's like, it's so what? But it's like, when you live it, you're like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked.
I guess that's basically the same thing about when I've been smaller. Like, men just, but the thing is, they sexualize me more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they mm-hmm. because I'm curvier, so it's like boobs, waist, butt, and then it's just like, I can tell you every single time it was just like I've probably had more one night stands than I'm comfortable sharing publicly. Like it's just sexual. I was over sexualized, and now that I'm like, you know, I honestly, like, when I put that layer on like a bear, it's like to just hide that because it's just exhausting.
Oh, totally.
I'm happier bigger because of that.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, I am. Like, don't fucking talk to me.
Like, don't fucking talk to me. No, but then I was like, now you got a husband. And I was like, okay, I want to be sexy. Like, you know what I mean? So now it's like, I couldn't just like, ugh.
But does he find you sexy?
Yeah.
Then?
Of course. He's just, but I don't find me sexy.
It's your friend.
It's getting to that place. Yeah.
So he's fine either way. He's been with me. He's seen me be an 8 all the way to a 16, which I am now, and back again. Like, he's down for whatever. He loves me, but it's me putting my
And when you feel, there's nothing like when you feel hot and you're like, go for it.
That's why people are like, oh, lingerie is a gift for him. I'm like, oh no, I love wearing lingerie.
I love wearing lingerie. I love being butt naked. I just, you know.
You want to feel great.
Yeah, I've just been like leaned into Moomoo season, like, and it just kept going past the season. And I was like, all right, well, let's together. So I'm drinking a gallon of water.
I get you.
Good luck. I'm so sorry. This is a shitty, stupid problem. But it sounds like you are crushing it. So whatever happens, you're going to keep crushing it.
I mean, keep on keeping on. Yeah. Like, in the meantime, all day, every day, no days off. Get it?
Yeah. Also, make your own shit, too.
Yeah.
If you're not making your own shit and you want to, go make your own shit. And then who gives a fuck?
Well, and I was I was assuming that you are into the commercials because it seems like kind of your thing, but I will say I think theater doesn't matter.
I was gonna say the same thing too. Yeah. Theater.
Mm-hmm. And that's seems like super gratifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how Luke, it's compared to commercials, it's probably much less.
She gets on Atlanta, she'll get on a Tyler Perry show like that.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, if you have any other problems, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com and let us know, you know, what happens. I hope it goes well. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't really say.
Good luck. Let us know. Let us know what happens. We think you're fucking great no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Duh. You listen to us. So
I love you.
Duh. Well, thank you for being on the show. Winter.
Yeah.
This was really fun. Thank you, ladies.
If you don't already listen to Winter on Pop Rocket, I think she's fucking hilarious on the show with Guy Branum, also a friend of Lady to Lady. Mm-hmm. And Winter, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Winter Mitchell. Not my married name. It's just same old lady at Winter Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And that's really the best place to find me because everything else is sort of private.
There you go.
That's who I am there.
Is there anything else you want to plug or anything?
I hope you guys have an amazing 2019. And I'm going to plug that I'm going to keep myself honest and say I promise to write something that I can publish. So the next time I come on the show, we can talk about that.
Yes! I love that idea.
Good. Good.
All right. We'll see you next time on your book tour.
I can't wait. We should do a live Lady to Lady from wherever my book tour stops.
Let's do it.
Michelle Obama.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
With probably 7,000 less women, but that's fine. I don't need all that.
I'll take it. Yeah. It'll be
fun. We'll get a good 7. It's
fine.
We'll
get a good 7.
Hell yeah.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. And don't forget, go to wingsofrescue.org, donate right now, and get your Death Becomes Her commentary.
Forward it to myfavoritemurderlady@gmail.com before February 1st.
Yes. Before February 1st. Okay.
Bye, y'all.
Hey guys, it's Tess. I jumped on the phone this week with Rick Browdy, who's the CEO of Wings of Rescue, and he's also one of their main pilots. He does all kinds of awesome flights for them. As you guys know, I think this is a really, really awesome organization, and they do such cool life-saving work, and Rick told me a little bit about it, so I hope you'll give it a quick listen.
And really, like, what does Wings of Rescue do, just to someone who's not familiar with it?
Well, Wings of Rescue flies pets from both disaster areas and overcrowded shelters to shelters where there is empty kennel space and where no local shelter pets are displaced by our flights.
And all of your pilots are volunteers, right?
Yeah, everybody involved in Wings of Rescue, none of us are paid a cent. We're an all-volunteer organization. We do charter some planes, and those pilots are part of the charter the charter arrangement they're getting paid for. But all the people that fly our plane are volunteers, and the people with their own planes are volunteers.
So just to give people an idea, like, what are we looking at in terms of, like, how crowded are city shelters where you guys are going in and alleviating some of the overcrowding?
Some of them are just incredibly overcrowded, where they're euthanizing quite a few pets. And, you know, we feel like we're doing a triage at best, because there is just so we live in a country that unfortunately has euthanized at least 1.5 million pets in the last year. We flew 7,222 pets last year, 11,180 the year before when we had all the hurricanes to deal with. But it's impossible for everybody. It's just an American tragedy, and it's primarily in the southern states. The redder the state, the more likely it is going to be high levels of euthanization going on.
And I know you guys do a lot of work with disaster areas too. Do you have sort of an example of a situation that you guys have flown into and rescued some pets out of a natural disaster?
Well, we are really proud. We've responded to all the last five major hurricanes. I think Hurricane Maria was the most gratifying because in that one, every time we sent a plane down to Puerto Rico, and we sent over 40, they took in 2 tons of humanitarian aid down there that they dropped off, and then we would come back with a plane load of pets. We flew 4,500 pets out of Hurricane Harvey, Maria, and Irma. We actually, the other day, were able to move 177 cats and 8 dogs that had been stranded by Hurricane Michael in Lockwood, Florida. So we just keep going. We have pilots that fly for the major airlines. We have pilots that are, you know, just on their own planes, that are businessmen. We have one who's a nuclear physicist. They're just great people who really love pets. And they're awesome, you know, they're awesome people to hang out with. And they're graciously donating their time, and it's just a wonderful relationship.
And so when people donate to Wings of Rescue, what sort of stuff do you guys use the donations for?
Well, our number one cost is fuel. It's, you know, filling up an airplane is a little bit more expensive than doing your car. You know, there's a little bit of plane maintenance, you know, because planes need certain repairs done. We pay for health certificates. We pay sometimes to transport the pets to the place of transport, because some of the shelters we are dealing with are so financially strapped that if we don't do that, their pets aren't getting out.
As you guys know, I volunteer for one of those really low-income shelters who is super overcrowded with dogs, and so it really, really means a lot to me that Rick does the work that he does and that Wings of Rescue is out there helping dogs in disaster zones and in really impacted shelters. So if you haven't already, come on, go over to wingsofrescue.org, donate $10 or more there, send your receipt to myfavoritemurderlady@gmail.com by midnight on January 31st and February 1st. Just like magic, you will get a download to our commentary with Karen Kilgariff to Death Becomes Her. You know you want it. You know you want to help animals. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as $1 a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram @ladytoladycomedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.